Ayahuasca, The Ultimate Journey, Part 1. Four of us lay beneath the stars, surrounded by jungle, gifted the most powerful ayahuasca journey that any of us had ever experienced. This included the facilitator himself, who had done thousands of sessions spanning over 20 years. Neurogenesis. This night was our second of three consecutive sessions. We each drank between 40 and 60 milliliters of the plant medicine. We had abstained from alcohol, pharmaceutical products, caffeine, and even from having sex with our wives and girlfriends for several days in preparation. We had also followed a strict diet of fresh seafood, whole foods, and vegetables for the same period of time. These preparatory steps are essential to allow for maximum absorption of the plant medicine, optimizing the journey that we would take. The preparation also helps with negating attachment in the mind, dissolving the ego, and making the path to perfect neutrality possible. We were welcoming a newcomer to the ayahuasca experience this time around, a close friend to the three of us, we having done sessions together already. Our friend had become more spiritual over the past few years, having immersed himself in strong psilocybin trips. He was naturally and expectedly still nervous about the ayahuasca undertaking, despite having completed the first night session very calmly. He asked our facilitator for advice on how to navigate the next trip, as we were all upping the dosage from the first night. The facilitator responded, "Neither accept or reject anything you see or experience. Be neutral. This will lead to empty awareness. Empty awareness is the natural state, the dissolution of the ego and the self." In 2022, our facilitator had said we needed to accept everything we saw or experienced during the ayahuasca sessions. In 2023, he now explained that he no longer believed that this was the right approach. He suggested that by neither accepting nor rejecting the experience, we would not become a part of the story, as in striving to interpret meaning from the visions in the moment. This proved to be immensely helpful advice. We all saw only glimpses of darkness throughout our sessions, as opposed to previous sessions whereby we had attached to darkness and despair, taking longer for the temporary discomfort to pass. We were drinking the same batch of medicine, having been brewed and distilled down by our facilitator. Each batch yields different results in terms of potency, duration, and how the experience is guided by the plants. The theme of the second night was somewhat shared by all four of us. It revolved around life after death, or life after life, perhaps seems a bit more appropriate. Life itself being an enlightenment generator. Our facilitator is a talented musician, with the plant medicine often invoking and accentuating his gifts with the Native American flutes and singing Icaras, which are plant medicine songs. Soon after the medicine took effect, we heard his flute playing the most beautiful music we had ever heard in our lives. Upon later recounting the experience, we laughed as he told us that the medicine had been so strong at that time that he barely knew what he was playing. He was merely a conduit for the medicine, as well as a conductor of his own orchestra. It was as if we were witnessing a concert that transcended both the material world as well as the spiritual realm. Everything in between was listening intently, extending to all living things within the jungle, enveloping us completely. Birds chirped harmoniously in sync with the musical notes dancing off the flute, permeating everything, everywhere, continuously. Owls hooted, lizards croaked, fireflies fluttered. The very stars above us appeared to flicker and grow closer. The music was medicine. With our eyes closed, the music evoked vivid imagery of life, creation, continuity, and the laws of the jungle. Some of our visions centered around various animals and wildlife. nurturing, teaching and protecting their offspring. This, in turn, morphed into human families living amongst virgin nature, also playing parental roles to their children. There was an ongoing sense of balance, being in harmony with nature, and life flourishing. The pace and intensity of the visions became more frenetic. Through mastering empty awareness without attachment, the visions changed so rapidly that there was no longer an inner voice trying to make sense of things. The observer became the observed. It became impossible to have a viewpoint on what was being shown to us. This state of altered consciousness is deeply immersive, reaching the point where the mind separates from the body entirely. This is a strange, disorientating weightlessness, a true out-of-body experience. Our newcomer friend later described his struggle to let go. He comes from a world built on structure, order, and analyzing risks, always focused on worst-case scenarios. He had the distinct feeling that the ayahuasca was encouraging him to reverse this crippling anxiety. He began to relax, understanding that he had the choice to focus on best-case scenarios, giving greater attention to what could go right over what could go wrong, leading the path that would help him to achieve his goals in life. Conquering the mind now appears to be a driving force for him, for all of us. Another friend mentioned his out-of-body experience, noticing his own body was trembling. He had watched this from the outside, as if having observed someone else. Our facilitator told us that the body trembles when the frequency of the ayahuasca-induced vibrations completely take over. Interestingly, he's looking into researching this phenomena with seismic plate technology. As Nikola Tesla once said, "If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." Sharing experiences. We began to share our uniquely individual trips with the group as the medicine's potency wore off. We became lucid and conversational. We discussed the strangest, most personal moments of our respective experiences. There was a consistent recollection of loved ones, both those deceased and those still alive today. Our memories of those relationships, how we had interacted with those close to us, perhaps having hurt them, having lacked empathy, or even slighting them. Then we mused on what we could do better to understand them and relate to the special people in our lives. How we could become better listeners, which would make us more empathetic communicators. Understanding that we had been driven by ego, our sense of self having superseded all else in a narcissistic manner. Another's recollection of a vision described the familiar warmth of family, in this case of family members that had passed away. The departed relatives gave reassurance to the individual that they were proud of how he was living his life. He asked after the whereabouts of one absent relative, only to be told that she had evolved into a higher plane of consciousness. That was why she could not appear to him in the vision. Each person's experience is deeply subjective and speculative. Whether or not such encounters with spirits of the dead are real in terms of how we understand them to be, cannot be known to us. Our facilitator believes that the mind and the spirit are one and the same. Regardless, the end result is the same. Comfort and healing is given to the individual. Anxiety, depression, past trauma, grief, and loss is resolved by the plant medicine. Perhaps that is why one may often hear people say that ayahuasca is equivalent to many years of therapy being crammed into several hours. As we approached the midnight hour, we were suddenly bathed in brilliantly bright white moonlight. A soft hue reflected off the water in the swimming pool. The jungle canopy below was illuminated for a fleeting moment. The four of us seemed more attuned to our surroundings and to one another. We further unpacked our interpretations of whatever visuals and feelings we could remember from our respective journeys. Our conversation segued to world events, the Great Reset versus the Great Awakening. We were definitely still feeling the ayahuasca coursing through us. Two of us told our facilitator about the Never Again is Global documentary. He listened quietly as we distilled down the parallels between the time leading up to the Holocaust and the times that we have been living through since 2020. Our facilitator commented on the so-called faceless puppet masters, meaning the people above world governments, above the parasite class, and above the front men at the World Economic Forum and other globalist institutions. He articulated how he perceived their obsession over trying to exercise total control over humanity as being futile, further suggesting that they were being played by life itself. He elaborated on the futility of a group of people attempting to control reality itself. We interjected, adding that the sociopaths who believe they are at the helm are all driven by ego. They literally are pure ego. Our facilitator concurred. We turned our debate to the Great Awakening. There was a sense of euphoria, hope, and absolute truth. We all recognized it. One friend paraphrased the single most powerful line spoken by Vladimir Zelenko in the Never Again documentary. Humanity can only be saved by global expanded consciousness. It is inevitable that we will win. It is simply a question of the final body count. That was an excerpt from a book I am writing on plant medicine. The book will be practically free, subject to a donation at whatever value the purchaser decides to give. A part 2 excerpt will be forthcoming in this Substack. Thank you for listening.